You're at work, when suddenly you hear something move. You take a look and don't see anything out of place. You reach for the newspaper that you've just been reading in your break, when you notice it's gone. No one else has been in the room. You'd been alone for 30 minutes. Suddenly, a little girl appears behind you, asking what you are doing there. You answer her, and after a little conversation, she disappears. Welcome to Ghost Tales by the Fireside. This episode is about the old Free School in Watford, where people have experienced much paranormal activity over the years. Watford is a town in Hertfordshire, 15 miles northwest of London. The name Watford may come from Old English, waf meaning hunting, or wyat meaning full of water, which would make sense as it is a ford on the River Colne. It was once part of the Manor of Cassio, which was granted to St Albans Abbey in 793 by King Offa. In an Anglo-Saxon charter from 1007, Watford is mentioned as a marking boundary of Oxenhage. In the 12th century, St Albans was granted a charter in the area to hold a market. This is when building would have started on St Mary's Church, and the town grew from here. In 1704, Mrs. Elizabeth Fuller used part of her land, which backs onto the churchyard of St. Mary's Church, to build a free school, a charity-based school. After the school building was completed, it held places for 40 boys and 20 girls, with rooms for a master and a mistress. The boys were educated to read, write, and cast accounts, and the girls were taught to read English and to knit and sew. Mrs. Fuller left £52 a year to the school in her will, but by the 1870s, the money wasn't enough to keep the school open due to inflation. It was decided by the Charity Commission to close the school on the 10th of August, 1882. There were still 13 boys and 2 girls who were placed in elementary schools. Over the years, the building became offices that are still in use today. Not too far from the old Free School building was once a photography studio. In the 1990s, Ian Cashmore worked there as a photographer. He, along with other members of staff, started to notice things that would be moved around. You'd put something down and it would turn up in another place. They didn't pay too much attention until one day, a young child started screaming in the camera room, saying that there was a scary man in the corner behind Ian. After this incident, Ian decided to look into the paranormal activity and to take it more seriously. He phoned the head office to tell them what had been going on, and they leisurely said, "Oh yes, we know. It's just the studio ghost." They had known about the haunting for years, but they didn't like to tell new members of staff, as not many stayed around for too long before finding another job. A small group of staff members decided to hold a Ouija board session with a local psychic. They made this a regular meeting over a few weeks and met up on Thursday evenings. They started it as a light-hearted session, more out of curiosity, and most of the information that they channeled through the board didn't make sense until one evening. They asked who was haunting the building, and the glass moved around, spelling out a name, Keith Cook. They then asked how long he'd been dead, and it spelled out 150 years. When they asked why he was haunting the studio, it replied saying that he wanted to be near the children. After many more questions, they were given the story that he was a teacher in the school, and that he, along with several children, died in a fire. He also said that he was middle-aged when he died, and that he also used to teach at the nearby workhouse. After the Ouija board session, the paranormal activity got much worse. Things would be moved around much more frequently, and the atmosphere seemed to feel really heavy. After family portraits had been taken, the photos would be developed and hung on the wall. The staff would keep them together so they didn't mix the families up, but they would go into work the next day to find that the pictures would have been mixed up. The parents of one family would have been put with another, and children would be placed with other families. One member of staff recalled standing in the studio one evening, and she could hear what sounded like a wasp in her left ear. She then realised that it was the wrong time of year for wasps to be around. Then it stopped, but the room went freezing cold. She locked up and went home early. The staff became on edge, with no one wanting to walk around the building alone. They started walking in pairs. One night, during the Ouija board sessions, one member of staff left the session to go home. He got into his car, and when he looked in the rearview mirror, he saw an old lady sitting on the back seat of his car. He said that she was clear enough to be able to describe her, but when he turned around, she disappeared. After a few days, he stopped thinking about it until the next Ouija board session. He asked who was in the back of his car last week, and it spelt out the letters B, E, and A. It then went on to say that it was his great-grandmother, and that she sits in the back of the car very often. He didn't know his great-grandmother's name, so the next day, he phoned his grandmother to ask her the name of his great-grandparents. She told him that her mother's name was Beatrice, but she was always known as Bea. The next week, after the Ouija session, he got into his car again and started the journey home. When he had to stop at some traffic lights, he saw a friend who lived in a house next to them. He waved to his friend, who waved back from his living room window. He then walked off, but came back, staring into the car. He then waved again with a puzzled look on his face. The next day, his friend phoned him and asked who was sitting in the back of the car. He said, "I knew that you would be on the way home from work, but that you wouldn't have anyone in the car, but whoever it was waving at me." Ian was offered another job with more pay and left, but he returned to the studio in 1997 when he was commissioned to present the popular documentary called Ghost Hunters, where he would tell the story of the studio and the free school. In this time, he decided to look into the information that they had received from the Ouija board sessions. He spent some time in the local library along with a researcher, and they found the name Keith Cook when they looked at the census from 1841. He was recorded as being a teacher in the free school and also at the workhouse. He also lived at the workhouse. When they looked at the 1851 census, Keith wasn't on it at all. They looked into the old school records and found that there was a gap from 1841 to 1842. They found this strange, so they looked into old local newspapers from that time period to find an article saying there was a fire in the free school and that a teacher named Keith Cook and several pupils had died in the fire. Keith had died trying to save the children. They then found that the school had shut down around this time so that it could be rebuilt. The fire had broken out just a few months after Keith Cook had filled out his census record. In 2018, a plumber's apprentice experienced something in the old free school that would change his life and how he thought about the afterlife. He was carrying out the maintenance of the heating system, concentrating mainly on the water boiler. He looked up and saw a little girl standing in front of him. Surprised, he said, "I didn't see you come in." She smiled at him and said hello, and proceeded to ask him what he was doing. He replied, telling her that he was doing some repairs, to which she replied, saying that it looked difficult. He asked her if she was from here, and she said, "Yes, nearby. I haven't seen you here before." He told her that he was only there for the weekend. She then said, "I have to go now. I like you, so I will be sure to see you again." He tried to keep focus on the job he was doing, but then he looked back to where the girl was standing, and she'd gone. He carried on with his job. He had to finish soon, as it was starting to get dark. Once he finished, he packed up to leave. On the way out, he had to notify the caretaker to tell him that he was leaving. He said to the caretaker, "I didn't realise your daughter was here today." The caretaker said that his daughter was at home and hadn't been in the building. He explained what had happened and described the girl to him. He said that she had lots of hair, worn in long curls or waves. She wore a blue dress that looked really old-fashioned, and she wore a white apron. The caretaker smiled and said, "Oh, you've seen little Charlotte." The caretaker then took him into the main hall, where there is a portrait of the free school's founder, Elizabeth Fuller, with her children. The caretaker then asked him if the girl looked like any of the children on the painting. And he pointed to one of them, saying it her. It was Charlotte. He felt a chill run down his spine. He said that she looked like a real person. She didn't seem out of place at all, apart from her clothing. He said that he had never believed in ghosts, and always laughed when people said they'd seen one. But this had shocked him. Thank you for listening to Ghost Tales by the Fireside. Please give me a subscribe and a thumbs up. It's really appreciated. You can find more information about the episodes on the website ghosttales.co.uk and on the Facebook page Ghost Tales Podcast and Instagram at Ghost Tales Podcast. All music, research, writing, production, art, and sound effects are all my own work.